Good afternoon, Wednesday Farm News. I'm Kara Hart with Megan Turnquist. We'll also hear from Randy Cunnan and Don Wick reporting from the Commodity Classic as well, here on the Red River Farm Network. Commodity Classic officially begins late this afternoon, but there are numerous meetings taking place ahead of convention. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has the details in this update from San Antonio, Texas.
North Dakota and Northwest Minnesota are very dependent on trade and export opportunities to the Pacific Northwest. North Dakota Soybean Council Executive Director Stephanie Sinner says there are beans moving.
I liken it to a very slow trickle. We're used to kind of the floodgates opening at harvest time and all our soybeans moving at harvest. The last 18 months has been a slow trickle. I think everybody feels that. We have long marketed North Dakota soybeans in other markets, so over the last 10 to 12 years, we've strongly marketed in lots of places around the world. Some of our big buyers this year have included Taiwan, Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh. So we've seen some interesting markets come up as they've been able to have more access to soybeans out of the PNW.
The export buyers are seeking the very best quality soybeans possible, especially for those going into livestock, poultry, or aquaculture rations.
Coming out of the northern states are soybeans that are high in essential amino acids, which is critical to animal and meat development. And so we are able to play a big role in providing that to buyers who are specifically looking for that. That's what the Northern Soy Marketing Group is meeting about this morning as well. Those efforts for talking about that amino acid advantage for U.S. soybeans over Brazilian or Argentinian soybeans.
Joel Shears represents Minnesota soybean farmers on the Soy Transportation Coalition, where he serves as vice chair. Rather than the barges we know today that move up and down the Mississippi, the coalition learned about a new type of shipping vessel that could move containers.
There is a prototype of this vessel. It is the first of its kind in the world. Supposedly it will be able to handle containers and bring them up to lower Mississippi. So it's really interesting.
Wolfert, North Dakota farmer Chris Brossard is also a member of the Soy Transportation Coalition. To enhance shipping on the lower Mississippi River, there are efforts to deepen the channel.
And it doesn't sound like a lot, but 5 feet is really kind of what they're looking at. And that's a big deal when you look at how much weight is on a ship and what you can move down the river. And when you look at, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but you look at how many more bushels you can put on a barge, that's a big deal, and it can definitely bring your costs, your transportation costs in line.
There may not be a lot of northern-grown soybeans moving down the Mississippi, but fertilizer does come this direction on the river that would also benefit from a deeper channel. Our coverage from Commodity Classic is made possible by the North Dakota Soybean Council, the North Dakota Corn Council, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Reporting for the Red River Farm Network at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, I'm Don Wick.
The grain market started out the day stronger with follow-through buying from Tuesday. Martinson Ag Risk Management Market Analyst Randy Martinson says the markets were beat up pretty bad from the coronavirus and economic concerns earlier this week. Some of those concerns continue today.
I think we're just seeing a little bit of a pullback. We've seen the stock market give back some of its gains here now, and I think some of that selling is spilling over to pull some of the premium out of the grains. I would like to see a little bit, just another small day of gains that kind of help build this base, but right now this market is really concerned about demand and the impact that to the economy that this coronavirus could cause, and that is causing a little bit of trouble with the market to be able to hold gains.
According to the Energy Information Administration, ethanol production increased by 1.3% to 1.054 million barrels per day for the week ending February 21st. The four-week average production rate increased by 0.7% to 1.052 million barrels per day. Ethanol stocks decreased by 0.3% to 24.7 million barrels.
The coronavirus's impact on the Phase 1 trade deal between the U.S. and China was one part of a hearing on the U.S. and China trade this morning. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Richard Neal.
Now, because of the outbreak of coronavirus in China, purchase commitments and other promises made by China as part of this agreement may be hard-pressed to happen. And the potential economic consequences for an undiversified supply chain looks like they could be severe. In the meantime, the only strategy that the president seems to have offered is a promise of more bailouts for our farmers. I have consistently urged the administration to aim high in its China negotiations, and I have asked the administration not to settle for superficial wins. The United States needs to obtain China's commitment to a structural change that will make a real difference.
Farmers provided testimony on the trade war impact and market facilitation program payments. Crookston, Minnesota farmer Tim Dufo was a witness at this morning's hearing. Dufo said the ag economy doesn't live on promises.
Until China buys, we are not buying the promise. While there are some good provisions in the Phase 1 deal addressing non-tariff trade barriers, those are at best singles when we need a home run. Similarly, the administration's trade mitigation payments, while they are welcome to many struggling farmers, including myself, they do nothing to alleviate the long-term consequences of this trade war. Are we being paid not to sell to one of the fastest growing markets in the world? Our competitors are filling the void.
More than 2,000 U.S. farmers are likely to file lawsuits against Monsanto, Bayer, and BASF following dicamba damage to crops. That's according to law firm Piper Wolf. This announcement following the recent $265 million verdict in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. In a statement, Piper Wolf says the crop damage research and increasing farmer complaints forecast a much bigger problem than Bayer, Monsanto, and BASF want to admit. For more information from the Red River Farm Network, be sure to visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at rrfn.com. Again, that's rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. Wheat priorities for the coming year are being decided today at Commodity Classic in San Antonio. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Randy Coonan is there.
Budgets, research, and trade, the main topics for the National Association of Wheat Growers at Commodity Classic. NOG CEO Chandler Gould says adjusting the NOG budget continues.
The industry itself is still hurting with low commodity prices, and we continue to see inclement weather, especially like in the Upper Great Plains in South Dakota. But we've got a balanced budget for FY21, which will come around on July 1st, and can really start looking forward to the future. I know a lot of your listeners know that the foundation sold their building this year, and so we have moved to new office space and looking at how can we continue to tap into non-dues revenue to take some of the pressure off our wheat growing states, but yet continue to deliver the member services that NOG has done for the last 40-something years.
School says the budget committee had a lot of challenges.
They are to put more money back into our reserves. They're to balance the budet. They cut an additional $120,000 out of the budget. Were able to help us maintain our staffing plan because we've got a grade A team there in Washington, D.C. for the wheat farmers. And so I'm very proud of this committee and looking forward to the next fiscal year.
Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers CEO Charlie Vogel says WIP Plus remains a priority for Minnesota's wheat growers.
I've been working heavily with NOG on how we can access that for all the quality issues and all the hurt going on in farm country right now. What can be done to help maintain farm profitability and sustainability long term? Falling numbers was a huge issue with wheat. As I've said before, the first half of the crop came off in superb condition. The next 25% was rough milling quality, and the last 25% was feed quality. When you're looking at, it's hard to make $5 wheat profitable, but when you cut that in half to feed quality, there's no way to do that math.
From Commodity Classic in San Antonio for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Randy Coonan.
Thanks, Randy. NDSU Extension soil health specialist Abby Wick tries to help farmers in two areas, with one being tillage methods. A recent soil health survey shows North Dakota farmers are starting to reduce the amount of fall tillage.
And I think that's important to see that. But we can also look at what are they considering. And reducing spring tillage is the next area that they may talk about, or where they're going to focus their efforts to get farmers to reduce spring tillage. And so this is really valuable information to know. We can understand now what's going to be recommended by consultants who are covering thousands of acres.
The other area that can help improve soil health is the adoption of cover crop practices. In particular, Wick says farmers are interested in establishing a cover crop in standing soybeans.
51% of people are considering that, of respondents are considering that. So we got to figure out how to fly on cover crops into soybean and make it work. We've got to figure out how to interseed. We've got to figure out some way to get those cover crops established. Diversifying rotation. We know a lot of our issues we can control with crop rotation alone, weed pressures, disease pressures. And if they were doing it to include cover crops, that's a great way to add in diversity.
Wick was a featured speaker at the Farming and Ranching for the Bottom Line conference in Bismarck.
The Wagner Farm of Jamestown, North Dakota has been using no-till practices for 20 years and cover crops for 5 years on their farm. Over the years, Tony Wagner, along with his dad Mark, have experimented with a range of heavy clay to sandy soils. With the help of NDSU Extension Soil Health Team, Wagner is continuing to improve the soil health on his farm. The biggest piece of advice on cover crops is to keep it simple.
The way I kind of look at it is your soil is a house, and your house only has so much room. And the more you have inside of it, the more they actually don't work very well together, and people get angry, and they all just kind of segregate each other. So I found that you can have just as much fun with 3 to 4 people and keep your costs down. That's what I've done. Like I said, this is what I've learned on our operation.
U.S. farmers harvested almost 3.3 million acres of certified organic crops in 2019. According to Mercaris, that number is driven by a 14% increase in organic farm operations. 1.1 million acres of organic hay and alfalfa were harvested in 2019. That's an 11% increase. There was a 13% increase in organic corn, an 11% increase in organic soybeans, and 16% increase in organic wheat acres harvested. A friendly reminder, go to rrfn.com, sign up for our weekly FarmNet News e-newsletter. FarmNet News hits your email inbox every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. To celebrate youth in agriculture and those who teach them, the Red River Farm Network is highlighting the stories of former FFA members from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota during National FFA Week. Betsy Jensen is a farm business management instructor at Northland Community and Technical College. The past Minnesota FFA member has one experience she'll never forget.
I actually went to Siberia with FFA, if you can believe it. And we just had an amazing experience out there. They're looking, you know, Russia at that time was looking to start kind of an FFA chapter of their own. We visited with students out there. We got to see their agricultural practices. We went out to farms.
Jensen's advice for current FFA members is don't try to plan the rest of your life. Take it day by day.
If you get a good career, you get some good internships, see a couple different options out there. You know, what you think you want to do when you're 15 and 16 and you're picking out a college, and then once you graduate from college, all of those plans are going to change. Very few people follow a straight line. So enjoy the roller coaster, enjoy the changes, enjoy those unexpected speed bumps that get in your way. Maybe you're an FFA and you participate in a contest you didn't think you would like. You just don't know where it's going to lead. And so be flexible. The world of agriculture is so wide. Don't try to narrow it down.
The full interview with Jensen is available online at rrfn.com. More FFA highlights can also be found on the Red River Farm Network Facebook and Twitter pages. Coverage of National FFA Week made possible by the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, ProSeed, Bayer Crop Science, and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Reporting agriculture's business, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, March Minneapolis wheat down 2.5 at 513.5, March Chicago wheat down 0.5 at 538.5, March Kansas City wheat down 2.75, March corn down 4 at 368.5, December corn down 1 at 381.25, March beans up 1.75 at 880.75, November beans up 3.25 at 913.5. In livestock markets, February live cattle down 90 cents, April live cattle down 27 cents at 112.67, April lean hogs up 52 cents at 65.20. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.